Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Do Things Just Bought It, the first of 2022. I'm your host, Caroline Moss, and I am joined once again by Kate Kennedy of Be There in Five. Kate, hello. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Gee, thanks for having me. I'm thrilled to be back.
Gee, thanks for coming. I feel we just talked. We just did an episode of Be There in Five. Was it one of your longest episodes ever?
What did it clock in, like 2:38? Yeah, it was pretty long there, and I had to cut stuff out. It was,
yes,
that was such a fun episode to do, to listen back to. People loved it. It's hard to even pinpoint what exactly we talked about.
Who can say? The only thing I have burned into my brain are those boots from Rachel Parcell's blog from 10 years ago, now 11 years ago, since we're officially in a new year. We had so much fun. Well, one of the reasons why I brought you on was because now it's a new year. I'm thinking about things I'm going to do with, Gee Thanks Just Bought It. And I reached out to listeners. I said, you know, like, what are you interested in hearing? Like, what, you know, what more can I do? What can I do less of? And a lot of people said, why don't you just do some like solo episodes, like talking about a product or talking about something that you bought that you loved? I'm down for that. But for some reason, I am absolutely paralyzed and terrified of sitting and talking into a microphone with no one to banter with me. And I thought, well, why don't I ask Kate, who like literally has just perfected the medium, the craft. I don't know. I feel like, is there anything you can teach me about doing? I want to do it. I find myself getting very nervous in a way that talking to somebody else and doing a guest episode does not make me nervous.
It's so interesting because I started solo podcasting by function of like I didn't have a co-host, like who was going to co-host this with me.
Right.
So it was very experimental for me and less intentional. But over time, I realized I like it better because, you know, when like I'm not an interviewer by trade. It's very hard to manufacture chemistry. It's hard to keep two people on the same path. I find that like what was educational for me, I was feeling self-conscious about not having guests at a point, but then I would notice my solo episodes performed better. And I think there's this weirdness where you have to come to terms with, like, if you put yourself in a position where you're creating content or a public figure of some kind and people are consuming what you're making, they're there for you. And, you know, we're all humble and all the things, obviously, but it's okay to indulge and take up the space and to realize that people are listening to hear your perspective. And I think that part of the mind fuck is just like being okay with taking up the space and, you know, being comfortable and confident in just that monologue format. Because I think maybe subliminally we don't even always realize we're trying so hard to keep it brief, keep it cute, keep it edited.
Yeah.
And this is your space you created and you can do whatever you want with it.
That's terrifying to me. I think that is true, though. I thought about all the different products that I would want to talk about and just thinking, like, how could I spend more than like 2.5 minutes like saying anything about anything? But which is crazy because I talk constantly, both on the show and off the show. But I feel like I will freeze when doing it by myself. I also wonder what you're so good at. And I wonder, like, how, you know, I would love some behind the scenes of your, like, sort of production style. Is that when I talk, and especially if no one is there to rein me in, or, you know, do a little cooperative overlap with me and add things. I feel like I would be like, okay, I want to talk to you about this cookie recipe. Well, actually, first, okay, well, and I feel like I would try to start like 7 different stories at once, and then like no one would actually learn anything, and no one would understand what I was saying. And I don't. Do you have notes? Like, do you produce your show? Like, what's your process?
It started as a non-process before enough people were listening to it, where I just kind of got to play around. And what was happening is I go on a ton of tangents. I don't reel it in at all. But it almost became a game of what I ended up ultimately calling a snorkel, as opposed to a deep dive, where I inadvertently go through in a shallow way like 5 million things instead of diving one thing. Mm. And I find that it's getting past that like sense of disorganization or the need to be edited. Like most verbal media you're consuming is super curated and editorialized and all the things. Yeah. But I firmly believe like podcasting is the, you know, some people report the news and some people are, you know, entertainers by trade. I firmly believe I'm in the business of keeping people company. And I don't think it's a bad thing to mirror a person's inner monologue, because I think we're all pretty disjointed in the way we circle around things. Mm. And what you perceive as annoying and disjointed, I think somebody else might find to be relatable. Sure. And what I think is so brilliant about the snorkel model is I'm uncovering parts of my memory that would have otherwise gone extinct. Like, I remember the weirdest shit because I let myself go there. And where else besides therapy can you speak without anybody interrupting? And I'm just constantly turning over rocks in my brain and being like, what's under there? And it's kind of helped me like honor my life in a way that I kind of just want other people to realize, like, you're really interesting if you let yourself be. There's so much going on.
That's very – honestly, I really like that explanation, too, because I have never found your podcast to be – I don't know. One of the reasons why I said, please come on and teach me how to do this was because I feel like you do it so flawlessly. It's interesting to know that, like, all of the same things plague all of us, which is that, you know – when you listen to like a very produced podcast, it's almost like you can't listen to something like that and then draw a comparison to something that like what you're doing. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm not doing like a Serial type podcast that's like we have research assistants and like a script and like we're just chatting like I'm at the bar and we have like stories to tell. And that's just like a totally different craft. I do feel that I will get to a place where I'm like maybe – I fear that I might try to make it something that it's not, for fear that just sitting here and talking about something that I bought or something that everyone else is buying is like not enough interesting content. But it gives me hope that you said that those are the episodes that perform better for you, or when you were like starting mm-hmm. out and you were doing like more guest stuff, that the stuff that you did by yourself was what people wanted to hear.
I feel like that often happens in life. Like when we talked about on my episode, like how everybody entered into the blogosphere with the rubric of cupcakes and cashmere, like, you know, leather and lace or whatever. And I feel like people see something that works and is successful and try to mimic it. And in many cases it works. But like anytime I was trying to mimic other podcasts, it like wasn't working.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of just 4 years in, I kind of lean into like where my natural instinct lies, because at this point enough people are trusting in the process that I can kind of know that they'll support what I'm interested in that week or what I'm talking about. But with the product thing, I think it's actually really like I almost like to play this game where if like you pick 2 totally disjointed things and like walk through the mental gymnastics of getting from one to the other. And that's kind of a fun place to start of like, what do I want to start this episode with? What do I want to end it? And what are all the windy ways I'll go to get there? And I think that can kind of be a fun exercise that kind of keeps you on track too and forces you to look for connections.
Yes.
So I don't outline so much as I'll be like, I have a bigger point or I want to talk about 2 to 3 things. And I try to be honest about walking myself back. Like, okay, so how did I get from, you know, talking about the Dyson Airwrap to Turtle Creek Lane's Valentine's decorations.
Sure.
Let's reel it back in. Was it talking about her hair, you know, high to the heavens? Was I talking about, like, and then you kind of just can trace. I think there is a bit of self-regulation into how far off course you go, but Yeah, I mean, like, what's funny to me, too, with you, like, I feel like you and I could talk about anything forever.
Yeah.
And you could have that same dialogue with yourself, 100%.
I honestly often do. I just don't record it. And I think that will be, I think the performance of it, and when you get in front of the mic, all of a sudden you feel like you have to do something performatively. It's like writing. It's like when you're writing because you know someone else is going to read it, you do like a little... like cosplay as like, I am a real writer. And that's how I feel when I turn the mic on. But I truly have no problem talking and plenty of things to talk about. I think probably what will end up happening, I think like anything, is like the first couple solo episodes I do will be like hopefully vastly different from anything that I do in like 6 months from now. Like it'll be a little clunky. I will be like a little shaky and then I'll get used to it.
And I think what people won't even notice on the other, like, I think it's such a big deal for you, but people are used to hearing your voice and the lack of dialogue won't actually be that jarring.
Sure.
I think I've heard people say it's relaxing to not hear dialogue.
Interesting. Just want to hear a stream of thought.
Like, yes, I get that feedback a lot. Like, it's calming. And, this is probably not a great thing that a lot of people fall asleep listening to me, but I think that there's something like soothing about. Because, like, I'm so hyper, like, you know when you're watching two people have a conversation and you feel awkward for them?
Oh, yeah.
There's something about when I'm listening to a podcast and I feel like they're on a topic for too long or not landing a plane or not vibing, I'm, like, paying attention to the social dynamics and I'm not even, like, enjoying and absorbing the entertaining piece. And sure. I think that people like a single narrator because you kind of control the pace and cadence and... natural chemistry with yourself.
Okay. And I love me. And we love having things to talk about. I feel like I remember that scene from Best in Show where Jennifer Coolidge is like, we can always find something to talk or not talk about. I feel like that is me with me.
Yes. AIM buddy info used to say in college, everything is interesting. Only boring people get bored.
Wow. Oh, wow. Kate, did I ever tell you that I created a viral Twitter account that was like a throwback to away messages?
No.
Yeah, that was like that was like my first viral thing online was I created the Your Away Message Twitter account in 2012. Huh. And just that was 10 years ago now and just like tweeted out Dave Matthews Band lyrics and the rest is history.
Oh my gosh. Make the best of what's around.
I know. Celebrate we will because life is short but sweet for certain. I think there is like the best part about Be There in Five, especially at the beginning of a new year, is that you have been asking people for what they want to hear about. And one of the things, like from a nostalgia perspective, and I'm going to say it on my podcast in hopes that people who listen to G Thanks will help me pile on to you to talk about this. In your senior year yearbook, did you guys have to do the little paragraph where you like picked a favorite quote and like shouted out your friends? And it was like a very big deal. That was like your lasting legacy. And you, I don't know, that was such a thing in my school and with my friend group. And like, you know, would you do friends' initials? Would you do like shorthand? Would you thank your parents? Do you thank your, and it's like a whole thing, but everyone always picked a quote or like a lyric to end it. And I feel like Celebrate We Will, because life is short but sweet for certain, was like a senior yearbook quote in the like early 2000s.
Oh yeah.
And I would love a nostalgic snorkel into the world of high school seniors of a certain time trying to leave their mark on, you know, their legacy in high school. But I remember like I went to a very like jam band, like kids in my school were like very into like, I don't know, String Cheese Incident and jam bands. And like,
totally.
And it was just it was like a lot of like Deadhead stickers on like BMWs driven by 16-year-olds. And there's just like a lot to unpack there. But I always think
a lot of tapestries in basements,
a lot of hemp, a lot of puka shells,
and wearing shorts with those Birkenstock clogs without socks.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And I don't know. I just would love to hear you talk for 2 hours about that. Because that's a
I could totally talk about stoner culture as a person who never was a stoner for 2.5 hours.
I'll happily join you because same. And I wanted to be so badly, but I was afraid of getting addicted to weed.
I didn't like how it smelled. And I like, and yeah, I kind of wonder sometimes if we'll look back on marijuana being illegal and romanticize it in like restaurants in the same way every bar is a speakeasy. And we're like, ooh, prohibition. Are we going to be like, ooh, remember when weed was illegal and we're going to have bars that are like tapestry basements?
Yes, definitely. And like, overstuffed, cracked leather chairs that smell like weed. I think 100%, especially because all of our parents could drink at 18 and they changed the drinking age, like, I don't know, in the 80s or something. And so, like, you know, that was, I feel like all of my aunts and uncles are always like, oh, yeah, like we, when freshman year of college, you're always at the bar. You guys will never have that.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, truly.
What? I think another high school senior snorkel thing that's interesting that I did once on Instagram that made me LOL was senior superlatives. As somebody who didn't get one that desperately wanted to be most likely to be anything, I would have taken anything. I just like distinction. But I never got one. It was so interesting hearing from people who like resented theirs, how they felt about it. So many of them were so inappropriate, like biggest flirt, nicest stems, you know?
Oh, yeah.
They would never do it now.
They would never do it now. What, which one? So I reluctantly took, I think, second or third in best sense of humor. And I will never really forget that.
Oh, tough stuff. What's number one doing now?
She's nowhere to be found. So I assume she's not out there making people laugh. I mean, look, like... Angela, if you're out there, I won't say your last name to protect your identity, but like, I'll never forget you from 17 years ago or however long I've been out of high school for.
That's crazy that you know you got second. I almost think it's better to not know what you were in the running for.
I know. And I did get biggest drama queen.
You did get that?
I did, but they took it away before it could be photographed and put in the yearbook because they decided that it wasn't like a kind superlative. But I was like, I don't care. I'm like, what are you talking about? I am a drama queen. I'm so excited about this. Like, I won this fair and square. I honestly got very dramatic about it in true drama queen fashion. And I remember my friend Max won biggest drama king and we were very excited to take the picture together. But like what? Like best eyes got to stay in the yearbook? Best hair?
That feels more repressive than drama king and queen.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, I feel like the this is so incredibly random. Per the drama piece, I was thinking about that word a lot with like everything. I think that it's funny to look back because everything like women did that was like disagreeing with one another or like disagreeing with something at one point in time was just labeled like broad strokes drama.
Totally.
And that's kind of a funny thing people don't say anymore of like, I guess kind of like Laguna Beach era, like drama. Yes. But I love that you wore it as a badge and you wore it with pride. I don't think there's really anything else you can do in that situation. And honestly, not true to form. You did not overreact.
I tried. I wanted to protest. I wanted to stage a walkout of just me. And, you know, it didn't really pan out. But I remember being like, I don't understand why we would take it away if the two people who won are excited about it. Like, neither of us are offended. We loved it. We were drama. I mean, we were being recognized for like being shit stirrers. That's excellent. Thank you.
It really is excellent. I literally, I'm so used to like talking about women in that way or like so that in that like weird internalized way that like 2 weeks ago there was this story about, it's so stupid. There was this story about the headline was woman goes, this is not fundamentally funny, a woman goes overboard on cruise ship. And my initial response was, well, what was she being dramatic about?
Yeah.
Like I thought it was an article about a woman, like, taking it a little too far, like, talking too much, being too dramatic on a cruise ship.
She hit the buffet too many times. She literally fell off the boat.
And Greg was like, she fell off the boat. And I was like, oh. Woman goes overboard. Like, I just, like, I have a lot. There's a lot to unpack there.
In possibly her most dramatic, you know,
set of
yet,
all.
She fell
Bless
off
her
the
heart.
Boat. Yeah.
I know. I was like, Jesus, Kate.
That's
but I
really
think,
funny.
Too, per the products of it all, like, I think there's a G-thanks potential of nostalgic products in maybe ways you're not even thinking.
Because
think of, like, think of an Olin Mills school picture package as the product.
Mm.
You know, there's a lot there with your family, socioeconomic status, how much your parents love you, how into yourself you are. Did you get a mouse pad? All that.
Oh, yeah. And then, but, and also just like how it, you know, it was, so, it was quantity over quality. So everybody's pictures sucked, but there was always this level of like, being very excited for school pictures. I remember one year the photographer was like, tilt your head. And so my picture is literally like me with my head at a full 90 degree angle. I'm like,
yeah. there was always a strange man brushing your bangs lightly off your face.
Yes. I'm like, stop touching me. I know. And but then there's also like, if not that, then a cowlick. So, you know, pick your poison. There's tons of that. And I see that when I follow mom bloggers who are like, oh, this is the thing that, like, inexplicably my 11-year-old daughter is like, I remember like having you put something about a trapper keeper on your Instagram story the other mm-hmm. day. It's like five star. I remember I bought a marble notebook like a few weeks ago for something just to have like a to-do list, like kind of scratch pad, and just thinking about how like there were years where it was like, I'm not going, it's five star notebooks or nothing. Like, mm-hmm. Do not buy me a marble notebook. Like, it was so ingrained, like, just like cool binders, like cool, the five star zip binder. And you'd write in jelly pen all over it. I would love
you can't
to do
show
more.
Up to school with rose art markers.
Yeah. Oh my God. You cannot. I remember.
Rose art, I firmly believe, is the Android of, like, to the Crayola iPhone.
Yeah, you're right.
You know what I mean?
That's true. Oh, that's true. We have rose art markers. Oh, yeah.
They always dried out.
They always dried out. They came dry. You know, you didn't even get like one good, you didn't even get one good picture out of them.
They came dry.
They came dry. I'm remembering on my seat, remember when you'd carry around 100 CDs in your CD, mm-hmm. you know, binder? And I remember I had one from Five Star also that zipped up. And I remember in silver jelly metallic pen, I wrote all of the lyrics to the Elephant Love Song from Moulin Rouge on the entire binder.
Love.
Yeah,
God has got to eat.
Yeah, like, and but
did
like
you
ink
the interstitials.
Yes, of course. Right. All you need is, what are you doing? Get down from there. And like, I think I still have it somewhere. Like, right. All you need is love. Love, love is all you need. I was made for loving you, baby.
Loving
I mean,
you.
I could sing you the Elephant Love Song medley.
Should we try? Just kidding.
I honestly, yeah, that's the entire episode. Is Kate and I are now gonna? You want to be Ewan McGregor and Nicole Kidman? Uh-huh. And it's like that. That movie came out at a time where I didn't even know any of those songs were real songs, because they were all like 80s and 90s ish sort of songs. I honestly thought they wrote it for the movie. It was so stupid, but it was all. But the music lover that I am, I put it all over my CD holder. I would love to do nostalgic product stuff. That's a good idea.
I'm specifically interested in your brand loyalty to Five Star.
Loved
it.
Is
that a subsidiary of Mead?
Did you not have Five Star?
I did, but is that the brand or is it like Mead Five Star?
It could be Mead Five Star, but what I remember most was that it was like a little puffy. I'm looking it up right now. Like, I don't, you know, it's funny because you think it really just depends on what the cool gals were doing in the day. And it was like a
Space Maker pencil holders. You remember Space Makers? It said like Space Maker all kooky on the top, and it was kind of like had a bubble pattern. And that's the thing, is like brands run our lives, whether we like it or not. And like things become status symbols. And I think what's so interesting is like in the era of pre-internet, pre-information exchange, when we're like minors, a lot of us have this like liked the same things and the same things were cool. And I don't even understand how that works.
I mean, I think it was like magazines and
Scholastic, like school supply fairs.
Yeah. Oh, the best. I mean, I used to like, right, you know, mid-August when those letters of like who your teacher's going to be in your school supply list would start showing up, I was like glued to the mailbox. I couldn't wait. There was nothing better to me than like a new binder. And I often would like change out my binders. It was very like new. I would do like a new year, new me, like every 4 weeks in school.
I was just going to say the new school year school supply list, like pretending you're going to be a new person with this organizational system with binder tabs, with like paper protectors. Like that was the original new year, new me, and us convincing ourselves that this is the year we're going to make serious changes be the best version of ourselves.
And all of your September notes and your assignment pads or whatever would be like in your best bubble handwriting. And then slowly it would become like chicken scratch over the years. But like, oh, yeah. My ADD brain was like the first 3 weeks of school. It was like I would write down all my homework assignments. There'd be like no questions. And like by October, I was like, well, we had homework. Huh? I left it at home. Like I was very committed. But also the in the ways I haven't changed, I always thought like, well, if I have this binder, like this is going to be the thing because there's pen holder in it. There's a pen holder in it. I can put my ruler in the binder. It zips up. Like I'll be, the dividers, and then I'll label and everything will be great. Like, it's like, I don't know. I have like 10 blank notebooks sitting on my desk and I bought each of them thinking like this notebook, and that lives on into my 30s. So we never really change.
We don't. And I like just really did not. I have a lot of binder enthusiasm myself, and it just did not carry over to me for me professionally with a padfolio. Which seems like something I would like, but really, I have no practical usage for a padfolio.
I don't think anyone did, except anyone. I did have one for when I went on, like, the first couple interviews.
Like, job interviews. I know. It's like, embarrassed for myself thinking about a young me in a New York and Company suit
skirt.
With a padfolio.
And a pencil
me
skirt.
Me in a pencil skirt is the biggest crock of all. Like, that is me cosplaying someone I am not. I do not like pencil skirts.
Oh, yeah, no. I never, oh, no. And pencil skirts and round toe heels and a blazer that did not match the pencil skirt. Like, they were not purchased together, so they were, like, different shades of black, like, a little off. And then, like, a nice work blouse from Ann Taylor that my mom, like, would make me buy.
That always, if you're busty, that just never buttoned.
No, it was closed and full. It was just like tits out for this job.
Yeah, tits out, padfolio out.
I wanted a Palm Pilot. Did you ever get into a zone where you're like, I need a Palm Pilot to keep track of all my commitments?
I knew I would never keep track of that stylus. Mm-hmm. But I did F with a lot of BlackBerries per the RIP BlackBerry this week. I love a BlackBerry. I still have my old ones. I love the feeling of the rolly ball. Yep. I loved BBM.
BBM. Yep. Ugh.
Were you a
World Girl? Right. Exactly. Were you a BlackBerry World Girl? Which one was your BlackBerry of choice? You know how they had like the different sizes.
I would just break them, lose them, and buy new ones on Craigslist. Like I was in a huge cycle of Craigslist BlackBerries when I lived in New York.
Oh, you and I are very similar. I was known in my dorm of being the person who had like a new phone every 3 weeks because it was not a new phone, new me. I was like, yeah, who's this? It's me. And it's
the magic of the BlackBerry too was like, you know, when you wanted somebody to text you and you were waiting for a text and like you'd feel a phantom buzz in your pocket. I would put my phone across the room and the BlackBerry had the red light and I would just sit, wait, wish, hope for that red light to blink.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Oh, I forgot about the red light.
Like an iPhone, the whole screen lights up. It's lost its luster for me. But that subtle red notification that someone somewhere is thinking about you just it warms my heart.
It was like the AIM thing when you would hear like the buddy door open and be like, bah, 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 and you'd be like, oh my God.
Yes.
And do you remember putting on different like alerts for like different people? So like if my crush signed on, like it mooed. So I knew I could like run back to the computer and be like, oh, hey, yeah, I was just hanging. I just got here too.
I made a lifestyle out of making myself go idle all the time because the most popular girls are busy. And I was at home, but like my family nobody could touch the computer. I'd put the mouse in the bottom corner of the screen, and I needed people to know that I had not been home for 8+ hours.
Oh, I love that. Yeah, I envied people like you. So that tracks. Yeah, I knew that behavior. And just what would your away message be in those times?
I often think back to this one because it's kind of a bummer. Mm. It's a song by a little band called Train. You see, her confidence is tragic, but her intuition magic. What? Like, yikes, yikes, yikes.
You were like, gotta put that one up. And what was the font that came along with her confidence is tragic, but her intuition's magic?
I think kind of like an Ariana Grande sweetener. That sort of quote belongs with the melancholy of a lack of capitalization, where something more playful, like, to one person, you know, to the world, you may be one person, but to one person,
one
maybe
person
the world,
may be the world,
deserves more like alternating caps and like asterisk squiggly colors. Yeah, yeah.
I did love a tiny black font, like so small, because I'm so small and I don't take up any space and neither does my font. Well, you really, you pulled something deep out of the depths of my repressed high school memories when you were talking about Your Winter by Sister Hazel, because that was in a big away message for me. Especially
Champagne High.
Where would I be without?
Where will I be without you wondering
why? I mean, really, I was like, when you posted, like, there are so few songs that you can ghost that long. Like, you listen to them so much, and then all of a sudden, the day comes and you never listen to it again, and you go 10 years and you don't think about it and you don't remember it, and then all of a sudden you hear it and you're like, why do I know all the words to this song? Like.
Oh, yeah.
Spring turns to summer and winter turns to me. Oh.
That's like maybe one of the best breakup anthems of all time that nobody talks about, because I don't think it was a single. And I don't really remember me, like, it's also funny that you and I were, like, huge fans of the unreleased, like, side non-singles of a Sister Hazel.
Yeah, the B-side of Sister Hazel. Did anyone else reach out? I mean, I'm sure people did because you have a big following, but did, like, were we minority of like, oh yeah, Champagne High?
The people that got it, got it. Listen to that TikTok sound. Like, the girls that get it, get it. Like, it's either so important to somebody or you've never heard it. There's no in between. You're not a passive listener of the B-side. You had to commit at that point, I think. But it was called Your Winter, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right, exactly. I don't know. I fancied myself, like, very deep at 15.
Of course.
Wrote, like, a lot of letters to boys. And
did you journal?
I did. Yeah, I did journal. It didn't last long because I was more... I didn't love that, like, I was the only one reading it. Again... drama queen. I wanted it to be a little more public. Like, I had a live journal, but I wasn't really like that. I had moved past a place from that. I did have a journal. I wish I could find it. I did keep extremely specific tabs on myself in ninth grade, and I would really love to know where the fuck that journal is, because I've not been able to find it at my parents' house, and I don't know where it went. But, like, yeah, I recorded every mundane detail, and, like, did a lot of shorthand. So I'd be like, what's up, journal? It's me. Like, Pen 15 hits hard when I watch it.
So I think one of the funniest things, well, per our conversation earlier, to loop it back fully, what you just articulated, the boringness of a journal that you're the only one that reads. I mean, this is really your opportunity to have an audible diary of sorts and excavate your own life on the airwaves. But also, I think what's funny about journals is people like me, and I would project this onto you, that are kind of have like a little bit of an entertainer or attempt, you know, like, I try, even back then, I actually wrote fully expecting somebody else to read it and wanting them to know how great I am.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it was not honest. It was produced.
Would you lie? So you would lie to your journal?
100%. Yes. I wrote it in a voice of somebody. I, like, thought about myself dying, and this would be my legacy. It's so weird.
I think that's very normal, and I did that too. And maybe you just were not normal people. But I think when you're young and, like, Yeah. And like, I don't know. Yeah. Wasn't there, there was something that went viral like a couple months ago about how, or maybe it was a conversation. I have no idea, but how someone was like, someone made a comment. Maybe it was a Pen 15 skit where they were like, what if I'm the next Anne Frank? And so, someone reads my diary. But like the, of course, reason why Anne Frank's diary is so widely known is because of the circumstances of Anne Frank's life and not just because she was a 13-year-old who wrote a journal. So like while you're like all of your problems seem as big as the Holocaust, though they are not. But when you're 13, you're like, yeah, maybe maybe this will be assigned reading one day in class.
I think a lot of people had the impression that your writing could be like historical because, yeah, you're too dense to realize the magnitude of why Anne Frank's diary got so popular. But then you had like the Dear America series.
Right, exactly.
Which were also written in a diary format. And so it kind of opened up the narrative to be like, maybe what I'm doing right now is historic.
Yeah, of course. Well, anything. Right. And Amelia's Notebook and all of those. I loved Amelia's Notebook. I loved the like the washi tape visual of things that she'd put in there. And Harriet the Spy. I loved all of that.
Oh, my God. Harriet the Spy culture. I got caught on my neighbor's porch looking in their window with a notepad. That's illegal.
Yeah, it is. What happened when you got caught? What happened?
I just think my mom was like, you can't do like that. You can't trespass. And I was like, but I have to get the scoop. And like Harriet, it did present like, because what she was doing was trespassing.
Yeah, she was spying.
And spying on people, and like they never really clarified that that wasn't an after school activity.
You're so right. Like the lesson of the whole crux of this story is that she loses all of her friends, and like all of her friends are like, you wrote really mean shit about us. Like what was his name? What was her friend's name? The boy, like Scooter, or, like, and she wrote that she wrote that horrible thing about him. And she was like, his dad's like a loser and he doesn't have a job. And like, it was horrible. And for some reason, the takeaway of an entire generation was, I'm going to have a diary where I write shit about people. Like the lesson just went like whoop out the window with that one.
Like Mean Girls made me meaner.
Yeah. Yeah. Like we were taking notes. We're like, oh, this is interesting. Like call Planned Parent, like call your enemy's mother pretending to be Planned Parenthood and saying we got the results of the test back. I was like, that's funny. Okay. We should do that.
So for Christmas, I got myself and my sister and sister-in-law like vintage board games because I'm just obsessed with how I did not grow up playing with STEM toys. I just got in. You played Mall Madness.
You
And one of the games I bought was Girl Talk. And there's several funny things about Girl Talk. One being it's a game of truth or dare. And if you don't do the truth or the dare, the consequence is to put a zit on your face. There are zit stickers. And the consequence of like not doing something mean and you getting like uglier with this like fake blood. I mean, it's so bizarre, one. But two, the dares are like that. It's like it was almost exclusively prank calling and doing kind of mean stuff to other people in the name of truth or dare culture. And I got anxious even reading the board because I'm a truther. Like if I'm playing truth or dare, I am always picking truth because you know what you can do? Omit things and not tell the full truth.
Yeah,
and no one
I
will
never
ever
knew
know.
That. I never knew that you could lie as part of truth or dare. But also the only question that anyone ever asked was who do you like?
Right.
And I didn't want to say.
I know. And that's a lot of pressure, too.
And also you really can't. And sometimes you're like, I don't like anybody. And they're like, no, you have to say someone. And you're like, right. OK, Michael S.
But the rush of hearing somebody liked you, I just compared to a Mario star, like you just take off. Like there was really nothing like that. And it didn't happen that often. But what a thrill. What a time. Like it's almost funny how official that statement would have to be of like labeling yourself as liking somebody.
It was huge. And it was also like, it was not even, it couldn't just be like a standalone fact. It was like, all right, well, now we have to tell him. We have to see how he feels about you. Right. And then my friend's going to ask if he wants to go out with you. And then you're going to call him. And now you're the boy. I had one of the worst, most embarrassing moments of my life took place during a truth or dare game in fourth grade at Rachel G's birthday party, where there were like 25 girls. And two things happened that night. One is that we were going to watch Clueless, and I literally like raised my hand and was like, I'm not allowed to watch PG-13 movies. And so like, because I like could not even
imagine.
I know, so lame. And then they dared, I during truth or dare, I got dared to pick my nose, and I wouldn't do it. I was like, no, like I was so embarrassed. I would not pick my nose. And then I called everyone a bitch, and I went upstairs and like slept in the guest room. You know how like sometimes like at a party you like go up. I slept in the guest room, and I was like, look, is the drama queen thing not making sense? Like they go, Caroline, we dare you to pick your nose. And I was like, fuck all of you. And I was eight, but went upstairs, slept in the guest room, and then woke up in the middle of the night with the stomach bug and leaned over the guest bed and threw up on the floor, except on the floor was another girl at the party who had come up to sleep. I threw up on someone. You know how, I know. It was horrible, and I felt it was bad. It was really bad.
That was so many events.
You think you're at the top of the mountain, and then you keep going on that story. But you know, there are things about people that I grew up with that I remember that I'm sure that they would be horrified to know, like, oh, that's what you remember about me. And I promise you that there are people out there who are like, oh, Caroline Moss? Yeah, when she threw up on, like, Stacey at Rachel G's party after she called us all bitch. And that's it. That's all I left with. That was my whole thing.
I think that's such an interesting thing. I actually think about that a lot because, especially the more public stuff you do, you think about what's everyone's, like, one anecdote of you. And it's kind of I was thinking about this the other day because I was crowdsourcing stories about people going to like church camps for the wrong reasons to find a boyfriend. And
what else do you go there for? Right. I mean, I get it.
And I like this is like so bad, but I was thinking about this one girl. This is dark, who like we were in a circle talking about like sexual immorality in the context of like a, you know, evangelical like Southern church and them basically trying to get us to like admit creepy things. And she like started bawling. And this is such a weird term I haven't thought of in years, for going to sloppy seconds with a boy.
she let him lick her boobs.
I know. And I was like, what is that term? That is something an adult would never say. And every time I think of her, I think of that. And I'm like, how weird is it that this anecdote is out there floating in my brain still. And I hate that for her.
Yes, because she is a fully formed adult, just like all of us. She has learned, she has grown, she's had setbacks, she's had successes, she has interests, and she is still, that's all you
sloppy
think about.
Sloppy seconds.
She's sloppy second Sarah. And I really think that is so terrifying to me.
Here's the thing, though. That Rachel G sleepover?
Yeah.
If there were 24 people there, by function of statistics. Yeah. Uh-huh. No,
I know.
That could be you detailing that night could be one of your first solo episodes. You call it Rachel G. Thanks to Spot It. And you map out.
Look, but then I'm just becoming Be There and Fine. It's like, and also the product you should buy. I really could. Look, like, is there a product that will help? Look, should we all be sleeping next to a bowl next to our bed?
My favorite bedpan. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Where's your barf bag? So I feel a lot better going into this. I feel like I have your blessing, which I appreciate. And I feel like there is something there with anecdotes tied into shopping, though I cannot pin one on Rachel G's sleepover, except that the movie that we did watch, because I said we couldn't watch Clueless, there was one other girl there who said she wasn't allowed to watch Clueless. I was not the only soldier. We watched Coneheads, like, which, remember Coneheads? Mm-hmm. Not
of
as
course. Good
as Clueless.
The way they had sex was touching heads.
Yeah.
And they slept upside down.
More appropriate for me. I'm like, I can watch that. It's fine. But I have to ask you, before we end our episode, I know that you are still on your air wrap journey, and I would your hair looked wonderful when you Instagrammed it, and I know you're having trouble finding the long barrels. Can you update us all on how you feel about the air wrap, if you're putting too much into it because of how much it costs? I'd love to know where your head's at, as I feel very deeply personally invested.
I think with the air wrap, we don't talk enough about the other attachments. I wanted to be blown away so badly by the swirly one, and my hair is very long. I need the long barrels. To even work, okay. And they're sold out. So I can't give you an accurate portrayal of that journey. But over break, I still talk about Christmas break like it's I don't know what I'm talking about. I just like went to see my parents.
Right.
But
yeah,
you're
like
I brought
seven
it home for break.
Over Christmas break. Yeah. Sure.
And I started using the volumizing brush and the round brush, and I like the way it dries my hair, period.
Okay.
That I'm satisfied with those attachments while I wait for the longer barrels. And the one way I do like using the barrels is by wrapping it like it's a wand and not using how it's intended.
Oh.
But if it's a little damp, it stays, and it's almost this like perfect double bend that I actually quite like. So I saw that on YouTube, and that's been a really effective way to use the air wrap for me.
The YouTube tutorials really cannot be stated enough that they are very helpful. They are very helpful.
Because this thing reacts differently to everyone's hair. That's why it's so hard to achieve consensus. And like we talked about on my episode, for some people, it makes their routine so much more efficient. For my hair type, it doubles my routine.
Interesting. Okay, well, that was I was not expecting, because mine definitely has cut mine down in half. But I guess, is it because of like the desired style?
I think that if you have coarse hair that you have to dry and then heat treat again, you're doing everything in one pass with the air wrap.
Okay.
But like my hair dries really quickly and it dries straight.
Okay.
It's not a lot of labor for me to like rough dry, and to go through it with a curling iron takes like 2 seconds. And that's not a flex. I have thin, kind of limp hair. It's not exciting. It's just dries quickly. So, but I think for people with curly hair or like more coarse hair, it's saving 2 steps by drying and curling.
That is so interesting. Cause from looking at you, I would think your hair was very thick and that you had
it's
a lot of it.
It's thick, but it's fine.
Interesting.
I don't know how to explain to it. Mm-hmm. I feel like that I'm just complimenting. It's thick, but it's fine.
It's fine.
I'm not returning it is, I guess, the important thing. Mm-hmm. And I have a lead on some long barrels that are unwanted from an Instagram follower. I hope it's
nice.
Not a scam.
They have one follower and no user picture, and they need you to wire... Just need you a new wire place. Yeah, if you can find them, I mean, I'm certain you can find them on eBay or Mercari or like a Poshmark situation. Maybe someone's getting rid of them.
To be fair, I haven't looked hard enough.
Okay.
But yeah, I'm going to stick with it. I trust you. I think that there is a big learning curve. That would be my only watch out for people, especially people that are busy, is that somebody like me has a lot of time to sink into technique, and I do my hair a lot and I'm still struggling. I just want people who are spending their hard-earned money on such a pricey thing to realize like you're gonna have to teach yourself how to use that, and it's not gonna be everything
Absolutely.
To you upon first try.
Yeah, I that goes for anything, but like this is not, once you get it, you will get it. But it's the same thing using a regular hair dryer and like a round brush, you know? I mean, like it's true. But I also do think that if you have your own, if you like your hair and you like the way that you do it, I tell people like, don't switch up your routine if you're not looking to. Like nothing you buy is going to change something that you already like doing, regardless of whether it's like the new cool thing or whatever. I'm glad you're not returning it. I want I want you to get to a place of it being more efficient than your regular routine.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I'm getting into, I want to try the heatless curls next. I don't think they're going to work for me, but if I get served one more Instagram, they're going to get me. It's like that.
Oh, that like crown on your head.
And then you like,
I don't buy
it.
That for a second.
I don't either, but I need to know. I need to know. It's like the other night I tried Magic Spoon cereal and I was like, this is the most disgusting thing I've ever tasted.
Okay, I like it.
Oh my God. What? Why do you like it? What is it about it? It tastes like communion.
it tastes like the
body
host.
Of Christ. Yeah.
Well, okay. What's funny about Magic Spoon is they like offered to do some partnership and I turned it down because of the optics, because so many influencers talk about it that I was like, no one would trust me if I hawked Magic Spoon.
That's right.
But then I tried it as a result and I actually liked it. And I was too embarrassed to tell people I liked it.
Okay. Because
I love sugar cereal. I genuinely love eating cereal. I love back of the box culture. You know, I grew up eating lots of cereal. And an adult can't sustainably eat Cinnamon Toast Crunch every morning. And I think since I like the act of milk and a crunchy vehicle, if I can, you know, soften up the body of Christ with some stevia, it's palatable. And I like the act of cereal eating. And it's just less sugary than everything else.
I get that. But why wouldn't you just then, like, I don't know. I don't see like an issue with being like, I'm going to have a bowl of Cinnamon Toast Crunch knowing that I'll probably have to eat something else to keep me feeling full. Like, is there protein in it? Like, what's the deal? Like, it just was like not doing
honestly,
it for me.
I think that like, yeah, I don't know. I don't eat it habitually. I mean, it is like $35 for four boxes. So that's not really sustainable either.
Yeah.
But I would never hawk it as like a way to, as like a diet product. Like, I think it's insane if people are using it as a substitute to eat every single day instead of sugar cereal, because it's not giving you anything substantive.
Sure.
But yeah, just I don't know. I guess maybe I also felt self-conscious as a grown woman eating a bowl of Trix. I don't know.
See, I say go for it. I love cereal so much. I didn't grow up in a family where we were allowed to eat that kind of cereal unless it was like a special occasion or for like for dessert. So sometimes I still at 34 get my jollies from like getting a big box of Cinnamon Toast Crunch and no one can tell me that I can't have it for breakfast.
I still kept eating it with the shrimp thing.
Oh yeah, sure.
Undeterred.
I'm undeterred. I'm like fake news. You can't. No, I love it.
That was a weird story with Topanga's husband.
Yeah, it was like a whole thing. And then they started doing like all these weird viral videos where I was like, was this like a weird PR? Like, that was like in the beginning of the pandemic, right? When everyone was like extremely unhinged and doing like live videos, like constantly.
I think it was like April 2020. No, this is April 2021.
No, really?
Yeah, it was not 2020.
Okay, oh my God. My God. I'm just looking at shrimp. A guy found shrimp in his cereal. Yeah, I'm like, all right. I'm good.
What's the date? Maybe I'm wrong.
No, you're right. March 25th, 2021. Oh, the time. And that's also unhinged behavior for a year into the pandemic. Like, have some respect. You know what I mean? Like, get it together.
Who should have respect? The guy with the Cinnamon Toast Crunch or us and being interested in it?
The guy with the Cinnamon Toast Crunch, if he's trying to pull a fast one a year into a pandemic, read the room. Don't try to ruin the small joys we have, like Cinnamon Toast Crunch. Also, if I found a shrimp tail, I'd be like, all right, well, I like shrimp too. Just not, you know, not together, and I'll just put you over here and continue on with my day. I mean, also, I do fantasize about like what it would be like to be one of those people that's like, I found a finger in my chicken nuggets, and like, do I get a big payout from that, you know? And I think that that's what he was going right. for.
Right. But I think that, well, yeah, okay, so that was Cinnamon Toast Crunch. What happened was Cinnamon Toast Crunch Shrimp was March 23rd, and then March 25th, that ship got stuck in the Suez Canal. So then we got distracted and stopped talking about it.
Oh. The supply chain stole yeah. the show.
Remember that one ship that, yeah.
I remember, because everyone, because I was like, oh, the Suez Canal, Luann de Lesseps, you know.
Exactly.
I'm like, oh, yeah, because Count de Lesseps' family built the Suez Canal. That's the only
thing. I remember
thing
her I saying in the episode, have you heard of the Suez Canal?
Yeah.
Like, yes, she's like, bitch. Like,
she goes, this is a really fun one. Okay, you ready for this? Have you heard of the Suez Canal? That's what she says. And all these kids are like, I don't know, maybe. You know, she's like, okay, well, my husband's family built it.
Is that when she was insulting people and that and teaching them how to give it? Oh, that was so bad.
I can never even. I do many a rewatch, especially in the pandemic. It's been a very big comfort to me. I still have never watched that scene again because it is so horrible. In the first season of Real Housewives of New York, Luann does some like volunteer program with students at like an underprivileged part of the city, and she's like saying all of the wrong things, and she's going around the room, and she's like, she asks everybody like what their favorite part about themselves are, and like all the kids get to quote the kids, they understood the assignment, and they say like, I love my personality, like I love my sense of humor, and she goes, I think I have a lot of fun, I like to have a lot of fun, and I think I have great eyes. And then she says, what does everyone want to be when they grow up? And one of the girls says, I want to be a model. And she goes, oh, a model. And you're young. You can lose the weight.
Oh, my God.
Psychotic.
That's it.
Psychotic. Oh. I'm like my brain like just like leaves my body. It's horrible.
That scene and the scene where Cyclone, the dance teacher, comes and teaches her son how to break dance are two of the cringe scenes that are tough for me.
The cringiest.
In season one.
Oh, it's so bad. Right. Yeah. She's like, Noelle loves break dancing. So I thought, how about we get a break dance instructor to come teach her? And he's just like rolling around on the floor. And the instructor finally goes,
like
congratulations.
The third story of their Greystone. Yeah. So it's like,
Or how? Oh God! I mean, here we go again on our housewives tangent. But remember when they have that cleaning lady Rosie, and like Rosie is yes. clearly like raising her children, and like her children like clearly love Rosie, and like do not love Luann. Like they feel like a motherly bond to Rosie, and Rosie goes away to visit her family in the Philippines and comes back after 2 months, comes right through the door. And it's clear like she just got back and she was just coming over to say hi. And Luann's like, maybe while you're here, you could do some laundry. Like she is not there to work. And Luann like puts her to work. It's
I didn't even pick up on that.
Oh, yeah. I've watched it. I've rewatched season one because I think it's like a nice bedtime story. But every time I watch, I'm like, oh, the dynamics between like this was also again 2007, where people were not like ashamed of like how shitty they were treating like
right.
their staff, their employees who ran their houses for them and pretended like these people were just here. Like, oh, they do a load of laundry here and there. This woman was clearly like running this household. And Luann was
right.
like, oh,
like
Rosie.
Pickles did.
Yeah, like Pickles for did for Sonia. Oh my gosh, God. I mean, we could do a whole thing on housewives, but this has given me, where is Pickles? Where's Millsaps? Where's, do you remember? Oh my, do you have like one? And look, I only do this because there was someone who left a comment after our episode where we talked so much about housewives, and she was like, I am not here to hear about housewives. And I was like, then you are not at the right place. This is a free podcast, and I'm talking about what
it's a free podcast.
Do you have like a favorite housewives, any season, like any line in your head that just replays over and over again, like any moment, and maybe it's not like a moment that always gets talked about. Maybe it's not Aviva and the leg. It's not Teresa and the table. It's like something that like,
right.
It's a thing that for you is very funny. And
I'm trying to, I feel like the ones that come to your head are the ones that almost get a little too like memeified. Like I have trouble separating my memories from like the stuff that's popular.
Yeah.
I think the true like sadness and despair, and this is like newer. I don't think we talk about like the true humiliation of Tinsley in the Big Apple Circus enough. And how excited she was for that. And her weird clown outfit and her crying to her mother about like her fertility. It was just like to have that conversation dressed like a literal clown for this gig you're so amped for when you used to be the darling of New York society is dark.
That is so true. I've never thought about it that way. And all the women like get wasted and like leave halfway through the circus.
Yeah, and she's like, this is my night at the Big Apple Circus. Yeah. And everyone's like, exactly. Doesn't matter. And the fact that Dale flew in for it, it's just, it's kind of, yeah, it was a circus, but I don't know. I think we've talked about this. I am the biggest Alex McCord fan.
Yes.
It's just nice to be photographed. Like I love the thirstiness. I love Francois. I love, they were just so weird and sad and, I kind of was here for the desperation.
I loved that.
But yeah, I think early New York and Beverly Hills are just the best.
Beverly Hills early is so dark. New York is like so weird. And I love the Alex and Simon scenes where they're going shopping in the Hamptons and they're like at, oh my God. So this would be like one of mine, like a line that like just sticks out forever. They're in that store and they're trying on all these outfits and they're like, Simon and I are very into fashion. It's like the ugliest shit you've ever seen. They are taking out like 9 bags. It's like very Pollyanna when she goes to like buy all of her new clothes and they like leave with like a truck full of stuff. And the owner of the store who like knew he was being filmed that day is like, as they're on their way out, they're like, he's like, Alex, Simon, Puff Daddy's party later? And they're like, yeah, call us. And then they like leave. And Simon's going, like, trying to open the trunk to put the packages in. And his like key fob won't work. So he's like, like, they're just like, very funny. It's very funny. I'm constantly thinking about Heather going like, hey, mama. Hey, Adam. That's the thing that in my head just lives on. I love it.
I know. I think about that, but then I'm also like, I wonder how her son's ears are doing. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. You grow attached to people and then they drop off and you hear nothing. But I do frequent some yummy tummy at the Nordstrom Rack.
Oh, yeah. We do love a yummy tummy. She sold that company too. Or when she was like, my friend helped me name Yummy Tummy. And I told her when I sell my company, I'm buying her a car. And she like, cause she like yelled it. She was like, Bethany, what? Luann helped you name Skinny Girl and you won't buy her a Rolex? And Bethany was like, she did not help me name Skinny Girl.
That's like that. Right.
And Luann was like, I didn't help you name it. I was just there. And she was like, you were there when I ordered it. It's not the same thing. Man, like, I love those women. They are crazy.
They are really crazy.
And I miss
Heather Gay
them.
Also just bought her Beauty Lab and Laser cohort a car on the last episode of Salt Lake.
Oh my gosh, I have not visited Salt Lake yet this season. I'm waiting till it's over so I can fully binge. I know I want to hear about the Charest.
I respect that.
But I am really into OC again. I know now that they've gotten rid of Kelly Dodd and they've revamped the cast a little bit, they've brought some like real, and I love Heather and I'm happy Heather's back. And
I want to, she has a screenwriter, like her, that speech where she was like, and that is not a threat, it's a promise.
Yes.
I was like, she rehearsed that so hard.
Yes.
Like she did that scene for Hot in Cleveland.
Yes.
I don't need Heather Page Kent back. I want Heather Dubrow. And
Heather
I felt like
Hawaii
irritated
Five,
by the acting.
Yeah. I get it. I love her kids. I love that their house
Same.
Is like 600,000 square feet. Terry's face is insane. And
he wears a bomber jacket to bed.
Incredible. He is the Carrie Bradshaw of men going to bed. Like he's like in a motorcycle boot, like just reading love letters from great men in his bed. Yeah. I forever stan and love and can do no wrong Shannon Bedore. And she's getting a bad edit this season. She's the villain.
A really bad edit.
Uh-huh.
I know. I remember the first season I hated her because she was trying so hard to be like, I don't do this. I'm not this person. And then she finally, when she was finally herself, it was so delightful.
I know. I love
it. But yeah, watching her try to build her business is a bit tough. I think I'm a little over the housewife business, as if I'm honest. I was out once Jules Weinstein tried to make those elixirs.
Yeah, the Apotec. Like, yes. Elixirs? Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. Jules Weinstein. You know, I get it. Bethany got a nut. And,
right.
You know, you're a part of a very small group of women who have this opportunity. But, like, you know.
Who else has a nut?
Who did, like, a good job? Oh, well, the other storyline I love and that never really gets talked about is when Heather tries to help creative direct Sonia's toaster oven campaign.
Oh, God. Yeah.
And Sonia's like, I just think it's like with like a J, but people think it's like a Y. So we want it to be like a sexy J. And it just goes on for like three episodes. And I'm like riveted. Who else got who else did like a great, I don't know. I mean, I'm trying to think.
I think there's a conspiracy with RMS Fashions that I want to uncover. I don't understand how it leftover merchandise got her that Hamptons home. And then true faith Christian jewelry carried them over for their city pied-à-terre. And then, mm-hmm. like, after her divorce, she hasn't, like, doesn't – I think her housewives is her job. I just am really interested in the origin of her business and that nest egg she had because she's clearly successful and did well. But we only saw her working in a nondescript office building, like, one time.
Yeah, with, like, a bulletin board and, like, a few push pins and, like, papers. And it's like they, like, set the scene. Yeah, I don't really know because both her and Jacqueline Larita from New Jersey's husband had similar businesses where you like buy excess stuff and then resell it. Yeah. But I'm like, that doesn't make you like so, so rich. So either she maybe had like a good investment plan or like something is amiss. I also don't know what kind of money Mario came from.
I also don't. So because my understanding is like she's the middleman between like, you know, clothing manufacturers in like a Big Lots or a Marshalls or a Ross Dress
right,
for Less.
Right.
But, and maybe brokering that is where the money's at. But yeah, everyone else's job is like a part of the storyline, but hers just never was. And I don't know.
She's a real estate agent. That's like her new
Ramona?
Thing.
Ramona?
Yeah, she's getting into real estate.
Oh, that's tough. Interesting. I mean, not tough to be in real estate, but like it's kind of like without housewives. She's like, are people having to find careers?
Yeah, definitely. I think the writing is on the wall. And I think that, like, you know, the lifestyle, I think Ramona is probably not long for this world. I know they're bringing her back for another season, but I cannot watch her anymore on television. It's too much. But like, I don't know. And also, did anyone? Oh, Lisa Rinna, I guess. But she's always been like a hustler. And
I feel like there's some like huge thing we're missing.
I know. I would love, I mean, if you could snorkel into the business of being a housewife, I would love that.
Yeah. I'm like, who are we missing that? Like,
someone.
Obviously Beverly Beach ceases to exist. And then we did the wedding dresses.
Like the woman, the pearl.
The woman. I had the audacity to say I thought PK was good at it.
Look, PK got a great season in season 11.
He did.
PK was the one. If you have a season where every episode I'm like, well, you know, PK was correct. Something has gone amiss with the production.
When they ate edibles or whatever, I think they were like high talking about Erica Girardi's like fake storyline. That was like such a funny, charming scene with the husbands. And I never want the husbands in a scene. Never.
Never. No. They're always there. And oh, God. Well, did you watch Kathy Hilton's architectural AD?
No.
Oh, she had they did like a tour of her house on Christmas. And it's like, so Kathy. She's like, this is my tree and I have only, you know, water. Water for Crystal. And, you know, Michael Jackson gave me this toy chest. It's from Neverland. It's like, oh, my, Kathy, like, how many lives have you lived? She's like, you know, Patrick, I only have two hands. I am not an octopus. Like, I really just love, I love Kathy. I would just watch Kathy over and over again. Anyway.
I think the most disappointing thing I've learned about those AD tours is like Like, do you know the infamous Dakota Johnson in the limes scene?
Yeah.
Her being
I
just love limes. They were staged. They were placed there. She doesn't love limes and she doesn't keep them in her kitchen.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me at all. It's like MTV Cribs where they're like, here's my fridge. And it's like 9,000 Gatorades and like a bunch of like cheese. It's like a bunch of polio string cheese. And it's like, we get
a lot of Perrier.
A lot of Perrier. They love a sparkling water. I know. And I want a whole Heather Dubrow house tour, too. I don't. Remember when Shannon had her greenhouse? Like, she built her house, like, eco-friendly.
Oh, God,
but then
yeah.
She was like, yeah, I drive an Escalade. It's wild.
It was insanely. I think that, like, it's hard for me to ever enter a bedroom and not think about Cribs and people saying this is where the magic happens.
This is where the magic happens.
It's just, like, such an important cultural staple.
In my beige, like, McMansion. I know. Kate, we could talk forever, and I'm looking forward to you coming on the Patreon with me and Nora, because I cannot wait to talk about the plastic surgery makeover episodes of reality television. But I
people
really
lighting your clothes on fire.
Yes, I really appreciate. Like I said to you in your DMs, I was like, I used to say to my mom all the time, like, we should put you on What Not to Wear, and I couldn't understand why she found that so insulting. So I was like, it'll be so much fun. Stacey Lanham will teach you everything. But this was a very helpful episode. I feel like I'm getting ready. I think maybe I will record my first solo episode right after we hang up because I'm still going off the high. But I appreciate that you are on board with this idea, and that it can be done. I mean, it clearly can be done. I don't know if, I mean, maybe you're the Bethany and I'm Jules Weinstein. Just trying to get a nut. Yeah, I'm just making apotec
sticking forks and calzones.
Yeah, exactly.
I feel like I didn't help you very specifically, but more so, I think what kind of letting even the conversation go off in tangents, it kind of just shows you there are endless things to talk about, endless things to dig into. And from each pocket of our conversations, I can pick out a brand that we, like, talked about.
Yeah.
And I think it all intertwines in a way that you don't have to think of it as product reviews. Rather, just, like, your general perspective on, like, the roles things play in our lives. And, like, there's your story.
Yeah.
I would listen to you talk about cereal milks.
I'll do
for
it.
An hour.
I mean,
you know?
I have a lot of opinions. And I could and I would. I will. And I think as Kylie Jenner once said, this year is about realizing things. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, the podcast doesn't have, you can evolve. You know, I want to be mm-hmm. at a place where I listen back to the first few episodes and be like, oh, it was so different. And, like, I didn't figure this part out yet. And I want, you know, I want to switch it up a little bit. But I mean, if we sold one of you guys out there a Mead 5-star zipper binder mm-hmm. today, I will consider it a job well done. And trust me when I tell you, there are a lot on eBay, vintage 5-star 3-ring binders. Kate, what is coming up on Be There in 5 so I can let everyone know to make sure that they tune in for your early 2022? What are you snorkeling into this year? What are some of the new topics?
Well, now probably a notebook deep dive called Be There in 5 Stars that I didn't know I needed.
Oh, you're so good at puns. You're so good at puns. It's really a talent.
No.
It's really a talent.
I've been on TikToks of this, like, evangelical conference called Passion. And I asked people on Instagram if anybody else went to church retreats, like, looking for a husband when they were 14. And the response was alarmingly high. I did an episode last year called Pussycat Dull, where I had people submit stories of the things they did to make people jealous that were so funny and way message adjacent per our conversation.
Fun.
And similarly, I was like, I would love to hear these stories in a churchy context for people that grew up this way of the things we did. And it's funny stuff, like people putting their hands up to worship, but, like, looking out of the corner of their eye to make sure the boy that they liked know that they were, like, worshiping the hardest. It's like, you know, it's, I love finding like time capsules or from the doing these things that were supposed to be more deep and meaningful, but kind of just being your shallow young self that you can look back on and laugh and be like, yeah, I was not there for the right reason. So that's John 3:16 age dream coming up.
I love that.
I also am doing a, I, from a follow-up to the American Girl book, The Care and Keeping of You, the puberty book, talking about all the different ways people learn sex ed, which I think is really interesting.
That's interesting.
Kind of a little bit more serious because I think mine was genuinely traumatizing in the public school system. Always a lot of stuff to talk about with cults and MLMs and nostalgic memories. And yeah, sometimes we just shoot the shit. So I kind of play it week to week. But yeah, those are a few things coming up.
I can't wait. On the note of doing things to impress people, I love that trend on TikTok where people are like, not me, like when I was 15 doing X, Y, and Z to impress. And it's like just them. And then it like goes right into like what they did. And one girl was like, not me trying, like having a crush on a Jewish guy in my school. And so this was my, like this was on my MySpace or this was some, and it was like, the Holocaust is a really horrible thing. And like, wow, two Holocaust mentions in this episode. But she like literally went in. She's like, there are deniers out there. All true. But like in the name of like, are you watching my stories about the Holocaust? I care so much. It's very funny. And I would love to see that in a church. I'm excited for John 3:16 Teenage Dream. John 3:16 Teenage Dream. That's what it is.
It doesn't roll off the tongue.
I messed up the pun, but you're so good at it. Kate, thank you so much for coming, and thank you for the Michael Kors watch, by the way.
You're so welcome.
It is right here in my jewelry drawer, right top, front and center. I love it so much.
I hope you wear it while recording your first solo episode like the boss babe you are.
I am a hashtag boss babe.
And lose track of time. The best content is made when you lose track of time. Record yourself in one giant pass. Do not let yourself stop talking and see what happens, and you will be amazed. Okay. I can't wait to listen. I think you're made for this.
Okay. Thank you. I appreciate that. I'm ready. I'm like ready to go. And I think honestly, by the end of it, maybe I'll get my high school to posthumously reinstate my biggest drama queen superlative. And I'll get like a little playbill insert in this year's high school yearbook. I'm excited. I'm excited for where you're going to go this year. Take me snorkeling. I have my flippers on. I'm ready to go. Is Be There in 5 Now a Sunday podcast?
It is. It is.
So you guys listen on Sundays. I know most all of you already are. But if for some reason you're learning about Kate via me, it could not be possible. Follow, like, subscribe, and listen. And Kate, we will see you on the Patreon for sure. I cannot wait.
Can't wait. Thank you so much.
Yay. You just listened to another episode of G-Thanks Just Bought It, edited and mixed by Veronica Gruba and produced and hosted by me, Caroline Moss. In between episodes, you can always head to the G-Thanks Instagram at G-Thanks Just Bought It Pod and the G-Thanks Facebook group to get and give life-changing recommendations of your own. Subscribe to our weekly sale and discount emails at gthanks.substack.com. It's free. And you can reach me at Caroline at gthanksjustboughtit.com or leave me a message at 424-245-0736 with a product recommendation, and you may be featured on an upcoming episode. G-Thanks is powered by subscribers like you. To keep all of our G-Thanks content free and accessible to all, consider making a monthly donation of $2 to keep us going at patreon.com/gthanksandfriends.